Welcome to LDS Real People, Real Lives podcast. This is Stephanie Colvin, and I am your host, coming to you from Southern California. It is finally a beautiful sunny day, no rain today, but we are expecting another storm next week. And just wanted to welcome you. If you are new, welcome to the podcast. This is a little you asked, I answered. And the questions that I covered this time are, why do we say we have truth or we are the true church? Why do we feel like we can welcome all people into our church? And how do we overcome perceived offenses by leaders and others in the faith? And that is coming up next. I felt compelled to answer a few questions that I have received. And honestly, that I see out there on social media a lot across many platforms that people have about members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the biggest one is, why do we say that we are part of the true church here on earth? Why do we say that we have all truth? And we do have a very peculiar way of speaking and verbiage that we use. I've spoke about this before here on the podcast. And not a lot of people in other faiths and religions and churches say that they're part of the true church or the one church, or that their church is true and they have all truth. And so when we say that, sometimes we can come across to others as being very, some have said snooty, cocky, offensive, unwelcoming. And there's other descriptions that have been shared too. And, you know, being born and raised in the faith, I didn't think about that. How other people would perceive the fact that we know that we are part of the Church of Jesus Christ here on earth. And this is something that I feel we need to overcome as we want to really look to do missionary work in the latter days and bring our brothers and sisters into the fold. And this is going to be a difficult trial and challenge because exponentially, the great opposer is working against us, and he doesn't sleep, he doesn't eat, and he doesn't have the veil of forgetfulness, and he is working nonstop. And he has many of our siblings fooled, and fooled greatly, and they are enraged. I think that's the biggest thing that's really caught me off guard lately is the rage that I'm seeing from people who have left the church. The rage that they're sharing on social media freely, and maybe that's due to the anonymity that they're feeling from behind the screen and the keyboard, that they're feeling towards the church, the leaders, the members of the church, and just the teachings, the gospel and the principles. And they truly believe that we are, and they say this with out of care in the world and very free, that we are brainwashed and that we are controlled, like we're, you know, the Stepford Wives. And that was a movie that came out a very long time ago. And this describes it to me very, very well. Just being somebody who's easily controlled and does not have the ability to think for oneself. So as I was contemplating this the last few weeks and really wanting to address this to anyone who is willing to listen, but especially to you, as you continue to come back and look for edification, uplift, for strength, and to grow that faith foundation that our prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, has tasked us with, telling us that in these latter days, we will not survive without our ability to hear the Spirit and to have a strong, rooted, cemented faith foundation. There is a talk that was given by President Uchtdorf called What is Truth? And this also goes along with a video, and this was back in January of 2013, where they have, it's an animated video of a bunch of men that are, I believe, blind men, and they're all examining an elephant. If you've seen it, it's a great video to watch to explain how to approach the gospel and why people just have a hard time sometimes with things that they just don't know or understand. But I love how President Uchtdorf, with just utter perfection, explains how it's possible to know the truth. He says, the thing about truth is that it exists beyond belief. It is true even if nobody believes it. And for me personally, just that simple teaching coming from an apostle of the Lord, this is simple, common sense, easy enough for a child to understand, okay? It's comforting to know that no matter who twists it, who convolutes it, who perverts it, who debases it, whatever they try to do with the truth that comes from our God, our Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter because it's true no matter what, because it's eternal. Elder Uchtdorf goes on to say that we can say west is north and north is west all day long and even believe it with our heart. But if, for example, we want to fly from Quito, Ecuador to New York City in the United States, there's only one direction that will lead us there, and that is north. West just won't do. Of course, this is just a simple aviation analogy. However, there is indeed such a thing as an absolute truth, unassailable, unchangeable truth. And this truth is different from belief. It is different from hope. Absolute truth is not dependent upon public opinion or popularity. Polls cannot sway it. Not even the inexhaustible authority of celebrity endorsement can change it. So, how can we find truth? And I just want to pause right here. Elder Uchtdorf is telling us that truth is truth no matter what happens. So when you throw a ball up in the air because gravity is gravity, the ball is going to come back down. And you can count on that 100% of the time. And so with truth being truth, no matter what celebrity tries to come out and say something that's different, the sky is red, it's not blue. What the news tries to tell us, you know, what a false prophet tries to convince us of, it does not matter. The truth is still eternally true. And there are ways for us not to be fooled. So President Uchtdorf goes into this. How can we find truth? He says, I believe that our Father in heaven is pleased with his children when they use their talents and mental faculties to earnestly discover truth. Over the centuries, many wise men and women, through logic, reason, scientific inquiry, and yes, through inspiration, have discovered truth. And these discoveries have enriched mankind, improved our lives, and inspired joy, wonder, and awe. Even so, the things we once thought we knew are continually being enhanced, modified, or even contradicted by enterprising scholars who seek to understand truth. As we all know, it is difficult enough to sort out the truth from our own experiences. To make matters worse, we have an adversary, the devil, who as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Satan, he is the great deceiver, the accuser of the brethren, the father of all lies, who continually seeks to deceive that he might overthrow us. The adversary has many cunning strategies for keeping mortals from the truth. He offers the belief that truth is relative. Appealing to our sense of tolerance and fairness, he keeps the real truth hidden by claiming that one person's truth is as valid as any other. I'm going to pause here because I've heard this statement a lot lately. There's three truths. There's your truth, my truth, and then there's the truth. And that just is always kind of, I get what they're saying because we have different perspectives, right? So if you put you and two of your friends in the same situation, but you're standing 2 feet apart, you're going to have different perspectives of that situation, of that event. Not only because physically of where you're standing, but also mentally, your biases, the way that you think from your own personal experiences, et cetera, and so forth. Going back to President Uchtdorf, he goes on to say that the adversary has many cunning strategies for keeping mortals from the truth, and he offers the belief that truth is relative. And I wanted to repeat this because this is what we're dealing with today. We see even in our own government agencies throughout the world how they change truth constantly, and they think it's okay. And then we'll find out through some type of freedom of information requests that have been done, or somebody has whistleblown, or somehow the truth has finally been able to reveal itself, that what we have heard or what we've been told or what has been put out there for us to consume is inaccurate, and they did it on purpose. And that's always going to be the characteristic and trait of an antichrist, of somebody who's a false prophet. And so we can tell and know when somebody is not working towards truth and is not a lover of truth when they act and behave in certain ways. And I'm actually going to probably do an episode about that as I continue to kind of think of subjects and topics that are most needed to cover in these latter days. Elder Uchtdorf goes on to say, for those who already embrace the truth, his primary strategy is to spread the seeds of doubt. For example, he has caused many members of the church to stumble when they discover information about the church that seems to contradict what they had learned previously. And I gotta tell you, I am seeing this a lot. You know, I spend quite a bit of time on social media just simply because of my podcast and the missionary effort that I'm looking to do, but I'm also learning, and I'm learning a lot, and I have to expose myself to others of different ways of thinking and looking at life and religions in order to be able to truly be a servant of the Lord and to go out there and do missionary work. So it's been an interesting journey. It's been an exhilarating journey. That's also been very real, eye-opening, and I've learned a lot, and I'm grateful for the Spirit that teaches me so much. Most importantly, patience, and to remember that these are my brothers and sisters, as oftentimes they can act like little bratty kids that are, you know, playing out in the playground and think they know everything, and they actually don't even know what they're talking about. And so how do we, as members of the Lord's church, patiently work with them and respect their agency? And that's a tricky thing to do sometimes. And then still be a good representative of Christ's church here on earth. President Uchtdorf goes on to say that, if you experience such a moment of doubt, remember that in this age of information, there are many who create doubt about anything and everything at any time and every place. And you will find even those who still claim that they have evidence that the earth is flat, that the moon is a hologram, and that certain movie stars are really aliens from another planet. And it is always good to keep in mind, just because something is printed on paper, appears on the internet, or is frequently repeated, or has a powerful group of followers, does not make it true. Sometimes untrue claims or information are presented in such a way that they appear quite credible. However, when you are confronted with information that is in conflict with the revealed word of God, remember that the blind men in the parable of the elephant would never be able to accurately describe the full truth. Please go to YouTube. You can find this video of the parable of the blind men and the elephant on there. And it's a great video to watch that will definitely teach this doctrine and principle very, very pointedly. Elder Uchtdorf goes on to say, we simply don't know all things and we can't see everything. What may seem contradictory now may be perfectly understandable as we search for and receive more trustworthy information. Because we see through a glass darkly, we have to trust the Lord who sees things all clearly. Yes, our world is full of confusion, but eventually all of our questions will be answered. All of our doubts will be replaced by certainty. And that is because there is one source of truth that is complete, that is correct, and incorruptible. And that source is our infinitely wise and all-knowing Heavenly Father. And He knows truth as it was, as it is, and as it yet will be. He comprehendeth all things, and He is above all things, and all things are by Him and of Him. Our loving Heavenly Father offers His truth to us, His mortal children. So now, what is this truth? It is His gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So if we will only have enough courage and faith to walk in His path, it will lead us to peace of heart and mind, to lasting meaning in life, to happiness in this world, and to joy in the world to come. For the Savior is not far from every one of us. We have His promise that if we seek Him diligently, we will find Him. And I want to add my testimony to Elder Uchtdorf's. We focus on the Lord and we seek Him. We definitely will find Him. So he describes the Savior, Jesus Christ, as someone who is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet, what have they done over in Israel? He's supposed to come in through the entrance and the gate through the east, and they've blocked it. They've locked it. They've blocked it. Not only have they done that, but they've put an entire cemetery of dead people there. And in their old, you know, old inherited ways that they do things, you cannot, of course, walk over dead people. And so supposedly Christ can't walk over dead people. But the interesting thing is that there's a fault that travels right through the middle of this gate and through that cemetery. You know, God and Christ are never going to be frustrated. Their plan will never be frustrated. The truth will never be a lie. And we already know who's going to overcome this wrestle, the struggle between good and evil. This struggle between good and evil here is our schooling. It's our classroom. Evil was never meant to win. We're here to get our education and then to make that choice. Do we choose God and our Savior, or do we choose ourselves? That's the choice we have to make. And for me, it's an easy choice. And then we're asked to endure. Man, it's the enduring that's really hard. So when we talk about having all truth, you know, people, when you come into the church, when you are taught the gospel, when you meet with the missionaries, when you have these spiritual experiences and you're open, it's undeniable. And people ask me, how is it undeniable? What do you mean by that? You see, you have to remember that people from other faiths, they talk about how they pray and they ask for help and guidance from a loving God, but they don't really actively believe in modern day revelation and inspiration the way that we do in the Church of Jesus Christ. And that, there was a huge spotlight put on that last night in this Bible study group, who was studying the traits of the Antichrist and false prophets so that they could identify them. But there was one scripture that kept stumping them, and I think it's in the book of John, and it talks about how even the most elect will be fooled. And they just kept skipping over that because they could not come up with anything to counter that. Now, of course, we would say, well, you've got the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can pray. You can ask for protection. You can ask the Lord to give you the power of discernment, to warn you, to guide you, to tell you. These people who only have the Bible and that's all they use, they don't talk this way. They don't believe in those things. And they didn't have an answer for that. And my heart really went out to them. And if I was to say anything to reveal that I was, you know, more than just looking to study the Bible, they would get so caught up in the fact that I was LDS that we couldn't study the Bible anymore. Because everybody just is, at least the ones I'm running into lately on TikTok, especially TikTok is a very unique platform. And there's a lot of anti for people of the faith of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so it was a great experience to have, and I learned from people who just focused on the Bible, and it made me super, super grateful for the amount of scriptures that we have, the cross-references that I had already tagged in my scriptures that was taking me to the Book of Mormon, to the Doctrine and Covenants, to the Pearl of Great Price, that was taking me to talks from our leaders and the prophets, and, you know, it just... And yet, these people are just the salt of the earth. They're really good people. They know what they know. And they don't know what they don't know. And it's just as simple as that. I'm hoping at some point as I continue to participate that I can get to know them more and share more scriptures. It's so funny because oftentimes when I participate in other lives, I'm just myself. And when I'm myself, I talk about the gospel open and freely. People eat it up until they realize where it's coming from. And then when they realize that I'm LDS or Mormon or that it's, you know, that I'm from the Church of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden it's bad. And yet they loved it until they, you know, it's just so weird. But going back to the question of why we say, you know, we come from the true church or why we have all truth. This is why, because we do. We are in Christ's church. But when we're out in the world and we're talking to others, may we couch that in a way where we're kind of taking it easy on them. You know, other people have different attitudes. You know, there's a guy I follow on TikTok that's an absolute baller about being LDS. And he loves telling people about all of the resources that we have and that we have this and we have that. And we have access to all of this stuff. And I think, you know, it's wonderful too. I love it. But oftentimes people don't even know what I'm talking about when I share it with them. So I don't know. You know what? We all just stay true to ourselves because we're all needed in our own special ways. And I just have a different way that I approach people. And I try to do it in more of a service kind of way where I befriend them first versus there's other people that just come right out with it. And you know what? That's great too. That approach will work on others as well. There was another question that I had received and I was doing a lot of contemplating on, and I've talked about this in other episodes about why we as a church and a congregation feel that we can welcome anyone into our faith, especially because I guess we have a reputation of being kind of anti-LGBTQ, which I think is interesting because I don't think that we are. At least in my personal experience, especially being from California, I think we are probably one of the most open and welcoming faiths to that particular community who can feel very marginalized. And, you know, I get it to what my understanding can be and within my own personal experience. I believe that we are more than just our sexual orientation. And I'd also believe that we can be put off from all of the gifts that the Lord has waiting for us. You don't have to just be LGBTQ to not receive those blessings. And so oftentimes they think that somebody like me can't understand. And I tell them, you know, I actually can understand the LGBTQ community in my own personal way from my younger experiences. But my current, who I am today, I can from prior experiences that are more recent, you know, before this third marriage. That we can all do things that put us off from the Lord, or we can't get temple recommends. We can all do things that, you know, the law of chastity is very hard and difficult, especially in this day and age where things are just, it's so easy to get away with things and to do things and to go, and it's just everywhere, you know. And I live in a beach town in California, so I mean, you constantly are seeing skin, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I do believe in modesty. I totally understand why we're supposed to be modest, but the younger generation, it's going to be really hard for them to get that, especially with what's being sold in the stores and what's being, you know, displayed out in the beaches. And their favorite, you know, surfer people that they look up to, and celebrities, and sports people, you know, what are they wearing on the beaches? I mean, this is what they're looking up to. So it's a fight. It's a fight to be modest. It's a fight to be Christ-like. It's a fight to be that spotlight, that light of Christ out in the world. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it to be brave and courageous and to stand out, even when you stand alone, which more often than not you will. And I have been in congregations, because I go to church wherever I visit, and I travel a lot, and I have always been welcomed. Sometimes I go in there and I am in ripped jeans and a t-shirt, and I haven't been able to take a shower because I've been on the road for too long. And I know that I don't always look the best, but I am there for my obedience to the Lord and my devotion to Him, my love for Him. And people are always good to me. And then I ignore anything that I perceive to be negative, but honestly, I just don't even pay attention to it. So maybe that's how you can feel welcome, is just by going in and making the situation or the opportunity what you want it to be. It does take a certain level of maturity. It takes a level of maturity to go in somewhere that you feel, you know, when you've been out in the world tells you, you know, that you're doing all of these things and it's normal and it's good and it's acceptable. And then all of a sudden you're attending and you're going to a beautiful Sabbath service on a Sunday with a bunch of wonderful people who have all chosen to live after a code of nutrition. And that is the word of wisdom. And to do many other things, and to devote their lives to the Lord. And you're sitting amongst them, and sometimes that can be a lot. You can feel like you're that big sore thumb that's sticking out against that wonderful, you know, glory belt of God's grace and goodness. But from my own experience, that was me and my insecurities, and not really honestly and truthfully understanding that I was welcome, that this is Christ's church, and that this is about me being there and growing my relationship with the Lord and starting my education so that I can return home. That's what it's all about. The other stuff, the friendships, the closeness, the relationships that develop while you continue to attend church and fulfill your callings, those are all, you know, just the cherry, the bonus on the cake. the whipped cream, the frosting is just the bonus on the cake. And that's why I feel that we can welcome anyone into the church, because this is Christ's church. We're not perfect, but I feel more often than not, you're going to have a positive experience. And when you don't have a positive experience, please move on to somebody else until you find somebody that you feel comfortable with. Because I promise you, this is Jesus Christ Church and He loves you. You're in the right place. And sometimes our faith has to be tested and we have to have challenges to really get to that point where we really value the experience and we really are committed and convicted. And there are reasons for those tests. There are reasons for those challenges and trials. But I do honestly and sincerely believe that we are a church and organization that all people are welcome. And D. Todd Christofferson actually gave a talk about that. And I totally agree with him. He's powerful. Powerful apostle of the Lord. And he truly emanates the love that the Lord has for His children. And I am grateful for that. And I was telling my son the other day, who's been doing a lot of soul searching and kind of finding his own way in the gospel. I said, what is the number one way right now that you see in our country that Lucifer is working against the Lord? And I said, as far as I can see from my perception, is it's everything is about race right now. And we're probably the least racist, you know, country right now in 2023. You're never going to get rid of hate, people. By nature, humanity is hate, anger, all of that's never going to go away. But if you've traveled the world and gone to other countries, the United States is not racist. Not nearly in the way that people believe it is. And Lucifer has done a bang-up job getting people to believe that white people are horrible, and especially older white men. Because who has predominantly led the Church of Jesus Christ here on earth? You know? And I say, I don't care what the person looks like that is giving me the message of the Lord. I don't care. I just want the message of the Lord. But there's a lot of people that get hung up on the packaging and can't even open up the bow. They can't even get past the tape. You see what I'm saying? So Elder D. Todd Christofferson gives a talk called The Doctrine of Belonging. And he says, the doctrine of belonging comes down to this for each of us. I am one with Christ and the gospel covenant. So we're one in the role of belonging and gathering the Lord's covenant people. And there's three parts in this doctrine. Number two is the importance of service and sacrifice in belonging. And then number three is the centrality of Jesus Christ to belonging. If we follow Christ and His example, which He's given us a perfect example in the way that He's taught while He was here, the way that He loved the people that came to Him, the way that He served the people, the sacrifices that He made to tend to the people, then we'll be fine. If we can be patient with people in the face of their anger, of their rage, and that's what I've been dealing with lately, is their anger and rage as they look to me as being some sort of representation of the church. Okay, I tell them I'm not, but you know. But how many other churches do they have members that are as proactive as we are? And so they just, you know, I hear from a lot of negative naysayers. but we truly are a church that lives and breathes the gospel. Because this is how you get that great faith. It's going to take great faith to make it into the celestial kingdom, because once you're there, there's still work to do. There's that highest degree. And then the final, I think, topic that I wanted to cover, as I was involved in a discussion most recently among members. And we know that in the latter days, the separation has begun a long time ago in the church of the wheat and tares. And how do we overcome perceived offenses by leaders and others in the faith? And this is especially hard for people who have, I'm not talking just offenses of maybe gossip or where somebody has said something offensive or called you, say, you know, maybe said a name that was offensive or made a presumption or conclusion that you didn't like. I'm talking, there's a lot of abuse that happens in the world. And if you take the statistics, if we look at statistics of even, for violence among children or violence within the family home, and then break that down further to sexual abuse, and then you can break it down further, you would be shocked at how, and maybe you wouldn't be shocked at how prevalent this is, abuse in general. And that's a huge umbrella. So when we've had and we've received abuse in our lives, and oftentimes these people that have abused and harmed us have been close to us, right? So maybe I should put a disclaimer here as I cover this. It might be a tough topic, a sensitive one. But the harm that's come from somebody who has hurt us, if you've walked away or had faith, a faith wobble, a faith shake, because somebody has abused you. And I tend to focus on this because that's been my story. Please don't use them and their terrible use of their agency to walk away from the Lord. I don't know what your personal struggles have been or what your story is or what you're dealing with. It seems like now more than ever, people are struggling in ways that are just, everything is immense. It's just immense. It's hard. It's difficult. Even those who have lives that always seem to be okay have struggles that are hard and difficult. So if you have walked away from righteousness, from the Lord, from his church, from his gospel, because you have felt wronged in the way that it was handled or whatever the case may be, I don't know, because let me tell you, there could be a million and trillion and one scenarios here. All I know is that we cannot let this be the wall that puts us off from the Lord. I don't know why some of us experience this and some of us don't. I don't understand it. But I do know Christ. I do know his heart. I do know that he came here and he, in Gethsemane, wanted Father to take away the bitter cup, but immediately followed that up with saying, you know what? Never mind, not my will, but thine. And he finished it. And he didn't do it just for Father, he did it for us. So let's finish this for him. Let's endure it and finish this for him. And let go of the past. Maybe we need to allow things to just get better and work itself out with whatever happened in the next life and just let it go. And I'm telling myself the same thing here because my anger from this situation is a weight around my neck and it's an anchor that's holding me down from progressing spiritually. And then I see it from others that are in the faith and out of the faith. Victims can use their set of circumstances, understandably, to be a victim for the rest of their lives. And I have been this myself. I witnessed it with several members of my family firsthand. And with it, a lot of pain and sorrow, suffering, self-harm, addiction, and it was terrible. And I'm working very hard right now to break some of these generational curses. And that's how I see it. At some point, strength has to be the order of the day. And so how do we overcome perceived offenses by leaders and others in the faith? At some point, we have to let go. At some point, we have to live the gospel. And if that means that we have to have boundaries and we're just cordial, we smile, but maybe not too friendly anymore with that person, whatever the case may be, whatever the Spirit leads us to do, let us be courageous, humble, and meek enough to do it. And again, I'm telling myself the same thing. The Spirit, I feel, is strong, and I hope that you're feeling the Spirit, too. I have so much love for you, and this is the wonderful experience I get to have by doing this podcast, because it's a service. It's a sing-song, miraculous experience that it, I believe, connects us, and one day we will all meet. And I think that these are eternal friendships. And it's a beautiful gospel. It's a gospel of love, happiness, and joy that spans this life and beyond. And I'm grateful for the hope that it gives to me. And I hope that whatever I've been able to share as far as the faith, the talks from our apostles, and just the experiences that I've seen on social media recently, that you guys can find your own answers and your own uplift, your own strength, and that you can hear the voice of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to guide you in the way that you need it most. Because you know what? He's the third member of the Godhead, and he loves you just as much as Christ and God does. And I hope you feel his love too. That's it for today. As always, stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay faithful and remember to be kind. For everyone you meet is truly fighting a hard battle. And until next time, much love and aloha. God bless.